soul. Break the yoke of bondage through the power of the Word of God. Join Pastor Jackson and friends as we rightly divide the Word of Truth. You can find My Gospel Soul on Facebook, Twitter, but you can also find me, Denise Jackson, on Facebook and Twitter as well. Now, keep up with us also on the Denise Jackson Ministry website. That's at www.denisejacksonministry.yolasite.com. And remember, with God, all things are possible.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to this segment of Sisters United. Welcome, sisters. What's going on?
Everything.
I know that's right. You know, we've been waiting a while to get together and just talk about some things, right?
Yeah.
We want to just send a shout out to Tammy Lilly. She's not able to make it into the studio today, which is all good. We're going to keep it moving and hope that this show we just go on to her with it. How about that? Go ahead and introduce yourself, Keisha. Let's get into it.
I am Keisha Roberson. Glad to be here today. Look forward to every Wednesday getting together with my sisters, but now I can see everybody.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
So, pretty good.
All right, Rita.
Hi, I'm Rita. I am Rita Nelson. It's good to be in the room with everyone this morning. I am the founder of Royal Tees. It's a Christian-based shirt line, inspirational shirt line, as well as Precious Moments Photography and Designs. And you can find me on Facebook. It's Rita Nelson. Welcome to the show this morning.
All right. Go ahead.
Hello, y'all. It's so Tree here. I see it all the time. I am her. She is me. And yes, I am everything.
Yes.
You know, I have to know myself. So, therefore, I say y'all love y'all still. Thank y'all for tuning in today. We're going to have some hot topics. And like you said, I'm so glad I'm able to put the face with the name.
That's right. Now, one thing I wanted us to do is just, we have been talking about our business, everything that we do. We do a lot. We wear many hats.
Yes.
You know, I heard Rita talking about a topic last week about these men saying that we got attitudes because when Aunt Flo is in town. I got something to say on that one right there. Because a lot of y'all men around here running your mouth about these attitudes, I believe that y'all Uncle Herbert come in town every month. You got an attitude every month as well. Mm-hmm. As well. You know. You know what I'm saying? So don't be tripping, you know, because we're going to get on that today. Now, I want to get on into these topics. Let's start with Keisha. Keisha, what you got for us today? Wait, let's say something to say. Hey, Sammy, what's going on?
Hey, Sammy.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Hey.
Wish I could have made it with y'all, but I'll be there next time.
Okay.
All right now. Looking forward to that. Yes, ma'am.
So our topic, Keisha's about to share our topic. Let's go.
I want to talk today about church hurt.
Oh, Lord.
Church hurt.
Come on.
So there are so many dynamics of it, but we as believers,
mm-hmm.
Okay, we have to watch ourselves. Everybody coming into the church wasn't born and bred in the church. Hmm. Some people are just stopping in to see what's going on or whatever. So we have to be on our best behavior and meet people where they are.
Right.
Okay. All too often, somebody new comes into the church, and maybe they have on a little bitty short dress.
Hmm.
Maybe that's all they have.
Yeah.
Okay, delivery is everything. So would they be more susceptible to changing. If you grab them to the side and go, hey, your dress is too short, you can't come in here like that. Or, you know, would it just be hello, how you doing? And then they see you maybe with a maxi skirt or maxi dress on or whatever. You just kind of embrace that person, and then they change.
Mm.
You know, that's one thing. And this subject came up because I talked to people before, but I was talking to somebody who said she probably would never step foot in the church again. You know, God wants believers to come together and be together, you know, whatever. And we the church is a building. We go to a building church, but church is in us. So if we're supposed to be Christians, we're supposed to be believers, we're supposed to be, you know, the people, you know, who, you know, the people who follow God, we have to... you know, we have to be approachable. So that was one of the topics.
Okay.
Dress. Another thing that often comes up a lot or whatever, people don't want homosexuals in the church.
Oh, well, let's start with one.
Yeah.
Cause,
okay.
So we're going to dive into each one of these. I like this. I like where you go. This is good. I wanted to talk because you're right. You know, if some people won't come back to the church, but this is how I was raised. I was raised in the Church of God in Christ. And, baby, you, when they come in, they got lab coat. They finna throw something over your lap. They finna, but it was also a church I went to where they were very gentle with you when you came in. Certain standards of way you carry yourself in the house of God. But you have to have that love for people. You have to have a love to where you allow God to change them. Because
exactly.
If you be the example and they see you coming to church and you looking good and what you have on, guess what? Eventually they'll begin to change themselves.
Exactly.
You know, and it shouldn't be a forced thing. I don't care if they come in a miniskirt for the first 2 months.
Right.
What does it have to do with you?
Exactly. And that's
the word. So you're going to make them miss it because you're making them feel ashamed.
You're judging.
So, exactly.
And that's why I wrote that poem, Why Do You Judge Me Too? Because when I started giving myself to Christ, a lot of people were judging me. Sam, I didn't wear dresses. I wore a lot of jeans and a lot of flats. So I was flat. But, you know, I feel uncomfortable because people say certain things and it started to upset me because I was like, really? That's not what I'm coming here for. I come here to hear the word of God and save myself, but y'all making me feel like since you're a saint now, that sinners aren't allowed, and that's not right.
Well, I tell you what, I've never seen well people standing outside of an emergency room. I've never seen that before, whatever. And we as a people, you know, a church body, we can't change anybody. We can only plant that seed.
Thank you.
And water it.
Come on.
Okay. Now, sometimes you plant seeds and you water and you can sing to that joke every day. It ain't gonna grow. You know, it's just not gonna do it. But we just have to really be mindful.
Yeah. And where is the love? Where is the love?
Exactly.
If it seems as the church, if a person can't be accepted anywhere, they're supposed to be accepted into the body of Christ.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of times, like you said about the emergency room, when you head to the emergency room, you don't care what you have on. You just got to get there.
You just got to get there.
It's a 911.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And I think a lot of times with church, a lot of the people in the church have forgotten that they used to be. They have forgotten.
Exactly.
And they think they woke up like that. No, you didn't.
Yeah. Right.
You know?
I have arrived.
Yeah, you haven't arrived nowhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Because if you had, you already be in heaven. You'd already be up there, you know? Mm-hmm. But you're not. So bring it down.
Bring it down.
Bring
right.
it down. Bring it down.
I'm just like.
All right. What you got to say, Rita? Read quiet as a church mouth. Quiet.
Watch the explosion come from their mouth. Watch.
Yes, it come back. Well, church hurt, like she said, it varies dynamics of church hurt. And I have experienced church hurt several times in my life. But I just think, because I've experienced it and I've seen other people experience it, which have halted their spiritual walk because
right.
they put their trust in man instead of God. And by them looking at man because they put him on a pedestal and thinking you're supposed to be this way, you're supposed to act like this way, you're supposed to talk like this. So they put them up here when technically they're human too.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And just as well as they're walking a spiritual walk of faith, they too can fail. But sometimes we look beside that and think, oh, you're a pastor, you're an apostle,
mm-hmm.
you're a bishop,
mm-hmm.
you're this, you have all these different titles, and don't realize they're human too, and the enemy are trying them as well.
That's right.
So I just think we have to put our focus on God. When we come to church and focus on what we come in there for.
Come on.
Because a lot of times when we do take the initiative to look at people and what they say and what they do, because the enemy will use anybody.
Anybody.
He can use anybody. Yeah. Your goal is, Lord, I want to get my life together.
Yeah.
I want to get in. As soon as you are, ma'am, excuse me, you shouldn't have it. And automatically you distracted because you're like,
right.
like I'm just coming here to try to get something for my life, get my life together, and somebody come and distract you. So we have to focus, and I've experienced, like I said, I've experienced this personally, as well as I know a lot of people that have experienced this, and they're stuck. 10 years ago, they never renewed their relationship with God because of what somebody did,
what somebody
said, and I had to realize, and I said, you know, and I was grateful to the fact of knowing that it's more important to have a relationship. It's the importance is having the relationship with God, because if not, you can cause people can cause you to not make it because
right.
you put your trust in them instead of God, and so. I think when it comes to church, we have to, like she said, so many dynamics of church hurt is a subject that's very broad. And I just think if we take our eyes off of men and people, who they say they are, and put our eyes on God,
come on,
we'll be able to walk that walk, that straight and narrow path without wavering because I'm spiritual, so in the Bible and it says as long as Peter kept his eyes on Jesus,
come on,
right, he
was able to walk
on that water.
But as soon as he started paying to the distractions and everything else around him,
right.
what people did, what people said, how they looked, how they felt, whatever the scenario is, he began to sink.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the whole point of the enemy. If he can get your eyes off, the prize. With anything, with something somebody say, do,
right.
whatever,
right.
we'll miss the prize.
Yeah.
That's
yeah. Tammy, do you want to say something on it?
Wow, that is a deep topic right there. And I was thinking about that when you mentioned it, and I was listening to some of the other ladies, and I think the point about us putting the pastor, the deacon, and all these other people up on a pedestal, I think that's a very, very good point because a lot of times when people do things, we have a tendency to say, well, you're not supposed to do that because you're this. You're not supposed to do this because you're that. I think if we allow ourselves to be human and recognize the fact that we all have faults and we all have fell short of the glory of God, then we will start to become more mindful and more loving toward people. But at the same, on the flip side of that, a lot of people have a tendency to think that I'm judging somebody because I point out their imperfections. With love, mind you, when you say things to somebody and you're trying to correct them, you have to go to God and say, you know what, I see this lady right here, or I see this man right here, or I see these people up in church, and Lord, I know they wrong because I know my word, but I know, you know, I'm not perfect as well. So I want to help them, and you have to do it in love. I want to help them, and you have to pray how you're supposed to approach that person. And you also have to pray for how they receive it. Lord, please open up their heart to be able to receive this in the manner that I'm trying to give it to them in. I'm trying to give it to them in love. But if you're looking at them and you're looking at them all stank-like, then you probably need to leave that person alone and let that person be and let somebody else handle that situation. You know, her coming in with her way up to her behind, or she come in with her girls out and so forth. But I just think sometimes we get into that old timing thing, and we try to all times, all situations is not fitting for that particular time. Times change, you know, situations change over time, you know, things that you didn't deal with, you know, 20 years ago, you're dealing with now. So you don't know what that person's walk is as well. So you don't know. That may be the only outfit she has, you know. So I think as long as we do things in love, I think it'll be okay. And I think, I believe, and I know, as long as we take it to God and allow God to, you know, take out any malice, take out any, you know, ill feelings that we're feeling about that person, and then allow them, pray for them to be able to receive what we're trying to give to them out of love, everything will be all right. But no, nobody has the right to look down on somebody because the way that they dress or what you think about them. Oh, I know they used to do this. But that's why they're in church. They're obviously looking for something. They're seeking something, and we don't have the right them over the head for what they have on and what they have done in the past.
That's
you know,
right.
You know what?
Right.
And another point, too. I think that once you pray for forgiveness, all of us are ex something.
Yes, come on.
Ex something. And I feel like once you ask God to forgive you, you forgive yourself. You have to forgive yourself because a lot of the times we get in our own way,
uh-huh.
And we will not let our past go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
absolutely.
So once you ask God to forgive you, you've changed your way, you've forgiven yourself, so what? My pastor always says, he talks about this person that said came in here and said, oh, I know something about you.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I know, he said, what he said was hell. I know a lot about me.
Exactly.
You know, whatever. And I know something about you, too.
Mm-hmm.
So now what?
Now what?
You know, now what? Or whatever. You can't allow your past to hold you hostage.
Yeah. One thing I wanted to share, too, because we always are so hard on the women about what they wear and how
yes.
they carry themselves and all of that, but I'm one of them people. I like both sides, and I'm gonna talk about both sides of it.
Okay.
Because some of these men come to church with their pants too tight. You understand me?
Yeah.
You know, we like to talk about the women having everything hanging out, pulling out, and all this. Some of them got their shirt all open, and you can see everything. You know, all I'm saying is we need to stop the madness because we have made church about a natural acceptance,
exactly.
instead of the spiritual thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we have turned it into a fashion show. We've turned it into all kinds of stuff. You can go in each church and you'll know what that church is about. Some churches are family churches. You know, if you ain't a part of the family, they really don't see you. Some churches are clicked all up. You know, it's a lot, like she said, it's a lot of different things that's happening within the church that could cause people to want to turn away from the building.
Right.
But once we learn that we are the church.
Exactly.
And the church comes in so many different, if God wanted us all the same, we'd all be the same. If he wanted, come on, we got some fashionistas in the body of Christ. We got some singers, some dancers, some rappers. We got all kinds of stuff in the body,
yeah.
And that's what makes us so amazing,
exactly.
And that's what makes us authentic. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can learn, first of all, like I said, to forgive ourselves, love ourselves, because there's a lot of times when new people come into church, we see ourselves in them, and they come in with confidence, and we can't deal with their confidence. We can't deal with their freedom. We can't deal with their personality, because we're dealing with some other stuff that's going on with us. So we begin to reject them. We may think it's us telling them the correct way to go, but we are rejecting them.
Yeah.
We are rejecting
yeah.
them. And I used to say, Lord, give me a way to say what I need to say to them. And the Lord told me, that is not your business. That's my business. He used to tell me, I'm serious. Because I came up in old school traditional stuff, and we used to say that God would give me a way to say it to her. But God say, she's my business. That's my child. I need you to hug her. I need you to love on her. I need you to accept her exactly what she is. Because when you came to me, you did not have it all together. You're the hot, funky, moving mess.
Moving
and guess what? I still used you. I still spoke
yes.
through you. I still fed the homeless through you.
Yes.
So we need to understand what's God's business and what's our business.
Yes.
And our business is to love everybody that come through that door. I don't care what they look like, you know,
exactly.
or what they wearing or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Now, when they we're talking about relationship, once they come in the knowledge of Christ and begin to, things going to fall off anyway.
Exactly.
We need to learn how to protect one another. That sister girl, did you see what she had on? You need to be the one to say, look what you got on. Sit down somewhere.
Exactly.
I'm serious.
Exactly.
We don't protect each other. We're not faithful to each other. We're not loyal to each other. You get what I'm saying? So we need to, if we want things to change, be the change.
We have to be the change, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And then wouldn't it be so sad that if you you've done all of this stuff, you fed the homeless, you've done all of this stuff,
you
feel like you should have done.
Scripture.
Okay.
Scripture.
All this stuff you feel like you should have done. Okay. You was at the mission, okay. You've done all this stuff or whatever. These people coming in or whatever, new times or whatever, they're turning away. I would hate to get in front of God with all of everything that I feel like that I've done that I'm supposed to,
mm-hmm.
and he won't even see me.
He won't see you. He's going to say,
do you know how many people you strayed away from me because of the things that you've done to my children?
To my children.
Or whatever. Send a message to tell her to be gone. Won't even see me.
Mm.
Or whatever. So I just feel like we really have to be mindful.
Yeah. And we have to grow.
We have to grow, right.
When Tammy said that she felt like it was her business, I was disagreeing with that because she felt like, well, I felt like it was my business to tell her something, but I just prayed to God to give me the answers. But I believe that if God wanted you to say something to that person, he would have just, it would have already been there. I mean, you don't have, just because somebody walks into the room like, I like the way she looks. I think she's doing something wrong. What you think that somebody's doing wrong, God might feel like it's right, it's okay.
Yeah.
You can't judge me from what you think he's supposed to do and what I'm supposed to do. Because my journey, your journey is totally two different journeys.
Yeah.
And you can't tell me my journey is supposed to go left when God told me my journey is supposed to go right. Because at the end of the day, I'm going to walk by faith and not by sight. So when I meet him telling me go to the right and you telling me go to the left, who do you think I'm going to listen to? I'm going to listen to God because it's the fact is, I don't know, I just feel like when it comes to the church house, like I told y'all, I experienced that. It was lots of things that made me walk away from a childhood church that I was raised in because of a lot of things that made me feel uncomfortable. Because when I was finally bringing myself into the church, wanting to commit myself, they made me feel bad about a lot of things. And I was just like, well, wow. You know, and I was ready to work inside the church. I didn't just want to be sitting on a pew. I was ready to work inside the church, but they had no room for me, and I thought God said that you spoke that. So that was just a lot for me. So from the judging and how they were doing things, it was just a lot for me. So I didn't walk away from God. I walked away from the church house. I prayed every day.
I still
read my Bible. I was doing Bible study. So it wasn't that I walked away from the Lord. I just walked away from that church that made me feel like I wasn't
relevant.
Yeah. And like you said, Keisha, we're going to have to give an account for the things that we do.
Yes, we have to give an account.
And I think that it has whacked everybody's conscience. It's like the word of God says, steer with a hot iron. In other words, you have done things a certain way for so long to now you're just going through the motions. Nothing involved. It's easy for you to just judge somebody. Whereas when you first got saved or gave your life to the Lord, you cared about what God thought about what you did.
Yeah,
you cared about, you had what they call a zeal to love, that zeal to treat others right. But then something happened to where you start thinking more highly of yourself than you ought to.
one of my people on my live, hi Cassie, great for your question. She says, how do we become relevant to the culture without losing our influence?
Relevant to the culture. The culture of the church?
Of the church, I believe that's what she's talking
without
about.
Without
losing
to the culture of the church. Ooh. I always tell people this. In the book of Revelation, there's seven churches.
Yeah.
Now, listen to me when I say this. And I'm one of the pastors that ain't scared. I ain't scared to tell
come on,
you straight
on,
up. any church that you join that you don't feel comfortable at, that is not your church.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just be real with you.
That's true.
If you are sitting at a church and you don't feel like you belong, that's not where you're supposed to be. If you are a part of a church and you are an influencer and you're not able to flow in your gift where you are, that's not your church. You know, some people say, well, how can you say, oh, my God. No. Listen, let's grow up. Let's grow up, okay, and let's take responsibility. When you get in the church that you are supposed to be a part of under with the shepherd that is actually your spiritual parent, everything flows. God said he giveth and add no sorrow with it. Get this in your spirit. Amen. Amen. Stop trying to fit, because sometimes we join places and we want to force fit ourselves in places that we do not belong. It's okay to walk away. I like how Soldier said that. I still pray. It's just like marriage. Don't be marrying folk just because they say, marry me.
Mm-hmm.
If the man don't fit, you must quit. Church don't fit, you must quit. It's okay. And we got to learn to help each other understand. It's okay to walk away from that. Because like you said, you don't want to wake up one day.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? Or be standing, be hoping that God receive you. And he say, I don't even know you. You get what I'm saying? Get somewhere, pray, seek God till God put you in a place where all of your gifts can flow. You want to be relevant? You want to be relevant? You got to be at the right place to be relevant. Because I'm going to tell y'all something. I'm one of them people that I done been a part of traditional churches, and they couldn't deal with me. You know, I've been a Jezebel and everything else. But it just wasn't the church I was supposed to be a part of. So I had to go, you get what I'm saying? You get what I'm saying? Because they'll take, because you're not a part of that. That's not
what
the body. That's right. That's not where you're supposed to be. You got to be willing and have courage to move. And some of us are in grandma's salvation and mama's salvation. We've been a part of this church for the longest. Baptist church for all of my life. I'm going to live it and I'm going to die with it. Well, guess what? You might get up there and he say, did you ever, who are you? You know, got to be willing to walk away. You got to be willing to get where God wants you at so that you can make the greatest impact before he call you home.
That's right.
All of it.
The end.
The end.
Okay, Cassie.
There you go.
Yeah.
I ain't scared to tell you, baby, move on. Get somewhere where you know you can be useful. Amen. Okay, next topic. Where we going? I know Keisha got a part two. Keisha, what's the part two?
No, I was just saying, that's fine right there. I was just going
to
go into different kind of church.
If you want me to talk about homosexuality in the church, I'll talk about it.
Let's just go there. Okay, that's fine.
Go ahead. You want me to
say something? Go right ahead.
Because I'm going to help some of y'all out there. Y'all rejecting people coming in the church that's a homosexual. Let me tell you something. Some of y'all liars and you still go to church. Some of y'all are fornicators and you still go to church. Some of y'all are cheating on your wife right now and you still are opening the doors of the church and praying everybody in. I just want to help you today. Sin is sin. And if you reject somebody because they live in a homosexual lifestyle, then guess what? You need to walk out the door, the same door you sent them out of.
Because
guess what? He cleaning you up and he can clean them up too. So you leave them alone and let them come to the house of God, because that's where they're supposed to be, at the hospital.
Judge, you want to be judged. I mean, your house is not, my house is like a glass house. Everybody in this room, house is glass.
Okay.
Everybody
come on,
house.
I ain't picking up no
rocks.
You sure it's best to believe I'm going to throw a rock and shout a urine. Do not try to come for me and judge me like on anything, because that's a big problem for me, because I feel like we as people, we make people feel low.
Oh, we make them feel so low.
We make them feel low. Like, what you're doing or where you're going is nothing. How do you tell me what I'm doing is not the way? That's your way.
How many people are you passing on your way? You never know. Let me tell you something, okay? I clubbed for many years, okay? My friends want me to go to the club, me and so we, okay? I was in a club one time. Now, I guess I'm just old because the music be too loud and it's just, you know, a whole bunch of other things or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't fit, you know, whatever. I was in a club one time. We were having show enough church up in the ladies' bathroom.
Hmm.
At the club.
At the club.
Show enough. Okay? I mean, it was tears. It was crazy. You know, at the club.
At the club.
You know, so you just never know who God is gonna, and I don't even use public bathrooms.
Hmm.
Okay? So I just happen to, it has to be real bad, okay?
Yeah.
So I'm just saying for me to find, no, I don't. Yeah. For me to find my way to a public bathroom. And we were having shown up church.
Let's hear what. Okay,
As far as I'm concerned with homosexuality in the church, it's not nothing new. It's not nothing brand new that it's been happening and so forth. And I don't have a problem with a person that the way that they live, because my thing is you're in charge of your own salvation and I'm in charge of my own salvation. So how you live is no problem with me, but I've always been a type of person that I don't say anything about what a person does as far as that's concerned. Just don't ask me no questions. If you ask me some questions, then you get an earful. I had, I was at a particular event, and it was one of a Facebook community event because I have, I'm admins of a few groups. So somebody invited me to this particular group, and we would have these events to help out with growth of the group, their groups, and so forth, because Facebook is really into the group. And the young man, when I first walked in, I immediately knew who he was. I seen the judge. I'm not harsh, and I don't mistreat people by the decisions that they make. I went and sat at the man's table, smiled at him, said, "Hey, how you doing?" I spoke to everybody in the same manner that I would speak to anybody else, as if I would be walking into church and speaking to somebody. And I don't know. I don't know if he's seen it on me or I seen it on him completely. And I had went to hand out a card, and on the back of my card, it had my bio on it, and it said that I was a pastor's wife. So immediately he looked at me and he said, "You in a Baptist church? Let me ask you a question. What do you think about homosexuality being a choice? You know, or being not a choice? Some people feel like you're born that way. This is how you're born, so you should live the way that you're born." And I looked, and I took a big old swallow, and I looked around. I'm like, why in the world did he put me in this conversation? And I just didn't care to be in the conversation with him. I just want to enjoy the event. Let's talk. Let's network and so forth. Your sexuality has nothing to do with me. And my sexuality has nothing to do with you. And he didn't like what I said. And he, from that point on throughout the whole event, he was actually very, very nasty toward me, very mean toward me. He basically told me I was judging him and I was wrong for judging him. I was looking down in my nose at him. He's like, "I'm so tired of church folks this and Christians this." And, you know, basically he was very, very harsh toward me. And I told him, I said, "Well, as much as you don't want me to judge you, but you're judging me. I haven't said anything to you about what you do, but I seen it." Like, that's why I told him straight up. When I walked in, I seen the spirit on you. I seen that spirit of homosexuality, and that's what I call it. And that's what I feel, and I stand firm on how I feel about homosexuality. It's a spirit, and I'm being does. Is a, I look at it as a demonic spirit. If a person, you got people that just gossip about people, and that's a spirit on you, you know, that you need to get up off you. I believe that every single sin has a designated demon that purposely keeps some things going in them people, and he knows when people are prone to homosexuality. They know when people are prone to drug abuse. They're prone to alcoholism, not the drinking of the alcohol, the alcoholism, when they're prone to these certain things that destroy their life. You know, he tells us be a sober mind, you know, in his word. So with that being said, is I don't have a problem with a person that decides to live that lifestyle, because it has nothing to do with me. On that day of judgment, that's going to be between me, him and God. And like I told him, I said, I don't know if I'm going to make it in heaven. I believe that I will, but who's to say that I will make it into heaven and you won't?
Well, you know,
I would like to say something.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, I understand what Regan, Sammy's saying, but I love science. I love biology, chemistry, and to be honest, yes, you can be born, yes, you know how, because sometimes we don't get too much
testosterone,
and we get too much
estrogen.
But going back, you have to ask yourself, if this person really, we don't want to believe that they were born that way because we feel like God made it like this. God, how do you know what he made people like what? I mean, I don't know. I'm the kind of person that's like this. I know people that have been molested and raped, and now they don't want a man because they're a woman. And they don't want a man. They want a woman. They're afraid. I don't want to put up his name, but my little niece, hey, she was raped. And every time she thought about having a boyfriend, him laying on her, she had flashbacks. And she started feeling like she was suffocating. And she's like, I just can't see myself being with a guy because of that reason. Whatever her reason is, do I judge her because of that? No, because I feel like, baby, do what you're going to do because it's in the day. But I believe that we are born gay. I believe that some are turned gay because of the choices and decisions that grown people make and do to kids, and they are not already there to know which way they want to go anyway. So if you daddy abusing this child this away, sooner or later, that's what they're going to feel like, okay, that's what feels good to me, that's what I feel like I should want, and there you go. I feel like I can't be going gay from biology and chemistry, yeah.
Me,
but that's my opinion on that.
Well, that's why I love the show. So everybody can get their opinion out, you know,
right.
Because it's some people that feel like it's a demonic spirit, and it's some people that feel like, you know, they were born that way. You know, well, I'm one of those people that if you were born that way, you need to be born again. I'm just one of those people. And I believe that if you were hurt and abused, it's healing that got to take place. It's healing that has to take place. I had a best friend that lived a homosexual lifestyle. I'm talking about full homosexual lifestyle, boyfriend, going to slam shows, everything, you know. And we had this discussion all the time. He say, okay, Pastor Jay, how you feel about it? I say, listen, you know, whatever you live is how you live. Just don't cross the street to the church, which I was talking about me, because, you know, I'm going to tell you, you know. Deal with what happened to you.
Right.
Don't come tell me you gay because of something that happened to you. Because you not gay. You hurt. You see what
right.
I'm saying? Now, if somebody tell me, okay, I've just been feeling this way all my life and this, that, and the other, that's a different story. It's like two different
spectrums,
right. You know?
So you like this because of hurt. Fix the hurt.
Fix the hurt.
But if it's
you know, fix the hurt. You know, I'm not saying you're not gay. I'm just saying I'm concerned about the hurt. You know, and a lot of times we get to judging people who are living a homosexual lifestyle and we don't know their story. You
right.
can't just get in that. You know, I heard this lady, she was like, oh, these homosexuals are this Christian, filthy and all this kind of stuff. And
ooh,
I'm saying, I say, hey, hold on. I'm a pastor. When I was out there in the world and sin was in my life, I couldn't tell you what I wouldn't do. You know what I'm saying? What I wouldn't experiment with, what I wouldn't this, that, and the other. We have to take ourselves out of that position and get to the healing of it. I used to be one of them ones, you need to be delivered. That low-down, foul demon, I can go there. You understand what I'm saying? But that helps no one that's not ready to be delivered.
Will make them run the other way
yeah.
than they had a thought about. I'm just saying.
Yeah, it makes them. I'm just trying to help y'all with some wisdom today. I'm not saying that I believe that homosexuality is not a sin. I am a preacher, and I believe in Romans 2, it talks about...
It says it in the Bible. It's abomination.
Okay, hold on. Let me get...
That's the word of God.
Okay, that's the word of God. Now, hold on. Let me finish what I'm saying. In Romans, it talks about how the man left the natural use of the woman and turned to himself. That's what the words say. He's saying because of this, he gave man up to a reprobate mind.
Okay. Reprobated mind.
So let's not, you know, if you cross the street to the church, let me just tell you, it's a sin.
Right.
It's not a lifestyle that God approves of. I just, you know, he just don't. But I'm not saying that a person ain't gay. Hear what I'm saying? I'm just saying you need to be born again, you know. But we need to get to the root of the problem. Like Love Jones is talking about. It's folks that's been raped, it's folks that's been violated, it's folks that's been, and they own a path. They own a pattern. You get what I'm saying? I done heard some stories from folks living a homosexual lifestyle that would turn your stomach. But it's the way they had to live, because when their parents found out something, they kicked them out the house, and these are Christian people. We don't know how to help people heal. We so busy trying to say, it's a demon, get it out of. And Tammy, I agree with you about this, about demonic spirits. Don't get me wrong. But what I'm saying is we got to use wisdom. He said, by love and kindness have I drawn thee. We got to use wisdom to help people get to where they need to be. I can't just jump up, you know, and we got to use wisdom and learn to love people. We got to love people to life. We
right.
really do. You know, you gotta love them to life. You can't, because I'm telling you, I cried night dealing with my best friend. He's gone on to glory now, you know. But I cried nights, and it was the love I showed him that gave me the opportunity to win his soul to the kingdom before he left here. He died a full blown AIDS. You understand what I'm saying? But God had to teach me compassion. He had to teach me how to speak out of love. And not judge. I wouldn't have got to win his soul. I wouldn't have, because my ultimate goal is not to be right, but for you to make it to heaven. That's my ultimate goal as a child of God. So I do understand where you're coming from, Tammy, you know, but at the same time, just like we got a passion to call homosexuality out, we need to have a passion to call these liars out,
okay.
These backbiters, these fornicators, these, you know, we got to have
whoremongers,
all of this, adulterers, and all this stuff. You know, sin, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is
eternal
life.
I'm just saying,
you know, y'all just excuse me. I'm for real.
Yeah. Want to chime in?
Chime on in.
I just want to say, I'm as a Bible believer. And a believer in God, he does say, he made male and female.
Yeah.
There was no gray area, either black or white. Now, I do believe that people do have the scenarios where life happens and it causes them to be in certain ways. But me personally, as a Bible believer and a believer, like I said, I don't believe God made, because God don't make no mistake.
None.
I mean, he's our creator. He said, I make male and female. And like I said, I don't, people do have their scenarios and things have happened in their life that cause them to be certain ways. But as Ms. Tammy was saying, we have to, it's a spirit. And a lot of times we don't confront the issue. Like the nowadays, they saying, oh, my child has is open to choosing what they want to
my
be as
God.
A gender.
Yeah,
and that right there kind of fired me up, because I'm like, this is a child. If God created you as a woman, when it comes to our private areas,
uh-huh.
you either have this, you
yeah.
either have that. It's no in between, because even if
both.
A woman
yeah,
chose
no,
to be, that's another
that's in the same bag. But you got something that got both, but only one of them work. Only one of them work.
Only one of them work?
That's.
Well,
we're gonna get that G. Go ahead.
Yeah. That's another level of.
But it's just a united today.
But definitely,
God.
like she's saying, and we have to deal with if it's a scenario. Well, my. But I mean,
grow, honey. How did you grow?
You want to know? You better ask some questions.
Go ahead.
Well, yeah. That's another level. But
oh,
I,
Jesus.
Yeah. But I just think that, like she's saying, as when you cross the street to the church and being as a believer, our job is to restore. Mm-hmm. Our job is to help this person heal. Our job is to help get to the root of the matter. And she's saying, like in the Bible, it tells us we must be born again. We can't be of our old ways and the things that we have to
Come
surrender
on.
Our will to God, and so that he can heal the hurt that's in us, so he can heal the childhood abuse, so he can heal those things
yeah.
that's causing us to be away from his will. Because
yeah.
the tender, when we're born into this world, we're innocent.
Yeah.
We're innocent. Now, things attach itself to us as we grow.
Talk about it.
As we things are taught to us,
yeah.
we are taught our ABCs. No, I don't know no baby that came in the world that just knew their ABCs and they 1, 2, 3 and their colors. We're taught things, just like we're taught racism. We're taught homosexuality. I don't believe a child coming to this world is a boy feeling like they're a girl.
Mm.
I mean, you're a boy. Now, some parents allow their children to feel certain ways, but we got to realize.
Nobody can allow you to feel. You feel what you feel. I don't know, like, and I'm sorry to cut you off, but they say that by the time a child is 3 years old.
Yeah, they say that, yeah.
Okay, you know, they have feelings about the opposite sex. And it's funny because with my daughter, little bitty thing in nursery school, it was this little boy named Corey. Corey loved my baby. Corey would be about to jump out the window to get to the door, to ring the doorbell, to open it for Jessica. Okay? Corey would take Jessica's bags and take Jessica's stuff, put it in her cubby, pull out the seat for Jessica. He trying to push it. I'm serious. I stood in the office, and I'm looking at this. You know, Corey didn't do that for any of those other girls at the daycare.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Corey, you know, it was a something about Jessica. You know, so with that being said, and then when Corey, one day Jessica was in a bad mood, you know, and Corey went to do something and Jessica snatched away from him. Corey said, him don't want me to touch him. He don't even know if to say she a girl or a boy. You know, but Corey, you know, or whatever. So children kind of know, you know, and I'm into classes and stuff like that. And it's not something that you allow. You don't allow a person. You don't give people the acceptance to feel.
Mm-hmm.
They feel what they feel.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So,
let me clarify. So, just like you just mentioned that Corey was like him, he really didn't even know if it was a girl or a boy.
Right.
See, that's what I'm saying. At that age, you know, you don't know. See, we have to, this is just my personal belief. We have to be able to train. Our job as parents is to train our children. Because
yeah,
even when, like I said, I use the Bible as a guide. He said, train up a child in the way they should go. Not in the way they feel, not in the way that they think they should go, because a child doesn't know.
Right.
Now, I think it's a parent's job to say, okay, because it's just like when kids are the boys, you know, they just any toy look just fabulous to a kid, but you'd be like, no, that's a boy toy or that's a girl toy. You know, if your son picking up a doll, you're like, okay, that's not really what I want you.
Man, I play with dolls together. And my daughter has me and my brother played with dolls together. We played with dolls together. My mama never took a doll from him. My son has a whole wife. You know, he's never desired or turned to, you know, a man or wanted a man or, you know, anything like that. So I don't think that playing with dolls, we make those things a big deal a lot of the time. And then have a child to be curious about as to the doll is a toy to a boy.
Mm-hmm.
It's not I want to play with this doll, you know, whatever. It's a toy.
He pretty much gonna break the arms.
Or whatever, just take it apart and eventually,
right?
Just have the doll up eventually, exactly. But I think sometimes we make too much of a big deal out of, you know, things or whatever. And
it's kind of like making people sensitive to something
that they don't even worry about.
It's kind of like my mom made me sensitive to my arm being uncovered. I wasn't worried about my arm, but my mom was like, I'll put some on your arm. I'll put some on yours. And when I became an adult, I always was self-conscious about my arm, you see. But I just you know, if we're going to be spiritual, on the spiritual aspect.
Well, I mean,
the word of God says.
I'm training the child as there she goes. But my thing is, what if I'm training? I feel like I'm training in the right way.
Yeah.
I feel like you're training yours in the right way, but they still do what they want to do.
Right.
You know, I mean, does that mean that you didn't train your child?
Right. You didn't fail. Exactly.
You know, so I don't know.
That's not, I don't think she's saying that.
I'm in elementary on the church, so y'all want to give me a pet because I'm learning still, you know.
I mean, we are.
Right.
We all disagree, but you know.
Yeah, that's why these conversations are important.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just asking questions.
Right.
I need you to elaborate so maybe I can understand. Okay, well, maybe so, you know. That's me. I'm like, oh. When I hear something, I'm like, oh.
I just feel like we have to be the best example.
Yeah.
That we know how to be at on whatever level that we're on or whatever.
And whatever a child grow up to be and the decision they make to be when they become adults is not your fault whether it's good or bad. Because I'm grown. I mean, it does. It makes you feel a certain way. But the truth of it is, people gonna make their decisions, but you know it's a consequence to every action. It's a good consequence
or a bad consequence.
You know, everybody, God has set an order for everybody's life. That's the way I feel about it. You still got Tammy on the line. Tammy, you want to say something? This is good. Tammy. You there? This is a good show today. First of all, you know, this is a topic that nobody really wants to talk about. Because we know that the LGBT community will tear into you. Do you hear what I'm saying? But at the same time, we love everybody.
Yep.
You got to learn to love everybody.
You have to learn how to love
everybody. If your child say that they are homosexual, you still got to love the child. You can't just be throwing...
Like this, throw the whole child away.
You throw the whole child away.
You don't represent.
The Bible said, train for child in the way that you go, and when they grow older, they will not depart from it. You got to believe that everything that you deposit into your child is still there. But God is a God of free will.
Right.
You're going to do what you want to do.
They're reprobated minds.
But like I say, we have to understand, if you cross the street to the church, I'm just going to tell you. If you cross the street to the church, it's just one way that he's safe. And then you can't escape you can't rewrite it.
God's word is not
God's faith. And you can't rewrite it.
I don't want no righteousness today or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, no, just give me a little bit of that grace and mercy.
I know the Lord says this, but like I hear people say, God knows my heart. That's not going to work. You got to do it the way God say do it. Do it the way God say do it. You know, and all that compromising and stuff. I want my name written in the book. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
I want my name in the book. And if you tell me that if I go and decide I want to love on a woman and be with a woman, if he say that is not his order, guess what? She got to go. I'm sorry, baby. You got to go. You know, I'm just being real.
Just
be real about it, you know. And then I need God to help me because Donnie McClurk, when he walked away from that lifestyle, the women of the church had to teach him, you know, hey, that's how we do things. This is how men do things. You see what I'm saying? He said that. That was his testimony. He said when he came out of homosexuality, God delivered him. He got delivered. Amen. But it was a process because he had to learn manly, mannerism. And a lot of folk went up and came against him.
But he said for his personal
walk with God, he said he got delivered. He said he ain't talking to nobody. He's talking about him.
Right.
For him, God dealt with him, and he got delivered from that spirit. So that's,
And that's one thing or whatever. It's something. Can't nobody make you do anything.
Yeah, can't nobody make you.
Let me tell you, we had a funeral at our church one time or whatever, and somebody slipped a note in my pastor's office. Just, you know, stuck it through the door, whatever, and he found it the next time he went in. And this person, they didn't put their name on there. Or if they did, he didn't tell us the name, but that part ain't even important. Mm-hmm. People always want to know, well, who said it? Who is it? Slipped him a note and said that he was a homosexual and he didn't want to feel that way no more and he wanted the church to pray for him.
Wow.
You know, that's the kind of thing or whatever. It's something that you can't beat a person over their head to make them do nothing. You can't beat them over their head to make them come out of anything.
Yeah.
Whoreism.
Yeah.
Fornication. Yeah. You can't beat them over the head to make them do anything. What we have to do is just plant that seed.
That's right?
And live a life. Water it.
And live a life.
Water it. Sing to it a little bit.
But God said he gives the increase.
God gives the increase. That's exactly, or whatever, that's it. By you doing what it is that you should do as a child of God,
right,
or whatever, will promote, you know, help that person get to a position or whatever so that God can give that increase.
God can give that increase.
Go ahead.
He said, love covers a multitude of sins.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to realize, he said, by love, I have drawn all men. So when we walk in the spirit of love, we can, just like you said, it's our job to plant a seed.
Right.
And it's our job to pray for you, it's our job to support you, whatever, you know, that you need in the body of Christ to restore you.
Yes.
Because a lot of times, like you said, when we come to the church, you know, people have been, used and abused and spit out and torn out by the world.
Oh,
they come in to get some help. Wow. They come in for restoration. They come in for healing.
Our job
is to restore them.
Come on.
The Bible said we should store such a one with all meekness. You know, we're supposed to bear the infirmities of the weak. We all have a struggle. We all have an issue that we're trying to overcome.
Exactly.
Mine may not be your issue.
Come on.
You know, but I do believe God in his word, he says some sins are an abomination to God. So, you know, some things, God, he's like, I spit that out. And you know, when we use the Bible as a guide, it's very broad. You know, we gotta make sure we keep it in context. So I want to, you know, I'm just trying to keep my thoughts together. So I just want to, you know, we have to show love to reach people. And like you said, our job is to restore them. Our job is to plant the seed in their life. They're saying, okay, God, he loves you.
Mm-hmm.
Just the way you are.
Yeah.
You know, and it's his job our job is to help them come. You know, sometimes we can be so far in the red, we're trying to get to the right side.
I don't like the emergency room. My kids are like, Mama, you didn't go to the emergency room. No, girl, I'm going to just take me a couple of Tylenol, and I'm going to be all right. Then one day you fall out on the floor.
Okay, and then you wake up in the emergency room.
In the emergency room.
Okay. So that's right. You want to bring yourself into the emergency room or
beat you into the emergency room.
Okay, right. You gonna get there at whatever cost.
Some point.
All right, let's sign out. Go ahead.
Keisha Rowe with her signing out. See you next week. Same time, same place. Sisters United. Got the soul vaccine.
All right.
Hi, Rita Nelson. Thank you for joining today. Hope you join us in on next week, Sisters United, every Wednesday at 10:00 a.m.
All right, Tammy. Come on, sign off. All right, come on, Love Jones, sign off for us today.
Thank y'all for joining. We're about to go. Same channel, same time next Wednesday. See you there. Don't let me beat you there. Love and blessings. So you said it.
All right, y'all. Well, y'all know it's Queenie. And I love y'all. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I put new window panes in old wooden frames. I put new shiny knobs of gold on creaky doors that reeked of mold. I put a pretty pink linoleum floor over a foundation that was rotten to the core. It looked so pretty for a little while, and then it all became broken somehow. I put all my money in this project, though it seemed like failure, I was subject. I was so mad. I stood up and put my hands on my hip. I went into my room.